You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi! Welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Brodnick. I love you and I love scams. Yes, 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 yes. Guys, I am so excited for today's episode. We're talking cell phone store scams. And I'm not talking about some weird phone card or somebody that contacts you on the phone. I'm talking about the sales people at the cell phone store. Now, we have an amazing guest, Kevin Smith. You've loved him. He is a scam spondent, a scam favorite, friend of the pod, and so kind and supportive. And this is just a great interview. And I really liked knowing so much more of how to prepare yourself when you're on the phone with salespeople or consultants when you're talking about buying a new cell phone or service or tablet, anything. Before we get started, I want to say a huge thank you to our Patreon patrons. Guys, this month I have two episodes out, a quick check-in and then a full episode that was never released. And I'm dying to know what you guys think about it because I had reservations about releasing it and the episode's just quite interesting, and I feel like it is perfect for our Patreon patrons because you guys know us so well, and you'll know pretty much how I'm feeling during the interview, what I like, what I'm upset about, what I'm angry about. And I want to give a special thank you to Corey, who is the kindest, most loving listener in the entire world. Thank you so much. She's sending me the sweetest messages, so supportive. I cannot thank you guys enough. So you can find us on Patreon at ScamWow Podcast. And if you sign up, you will automatically get this month's episode, The Secret One, for $1. And for $5, you get access to all of the episodes. It's wonderful. Patreon is definitely keeping my lights on this Christmas. And I adore all of you and I cannot thank you enough. So without further ado, a happy, happy holidays. Hanukkah's over. Kwanzaa's coming up. I'm sure there's a million other holidays that I've missed. Let me know what they are. You can always call us on our Hot Tip Hotline if you have any scam leads, if you want to be a part of our mailbag, which is 347-509-9414. I can't wait for you guys to hear this episode. We love Kevin. Enjoy!
Hi, Katie.
Oh my God. Guys, Kevin Smith, our wonderful guest, is a saint because I was giving him and Kate the play-by-play of when my son was falling asleep.
It's a riveting behind the scenes.
The behind the scenes. My dog just came into the recording area. There's just a lot happening today. Basically, the fun part of working from home is that you don't control anything.
Right. Yeah.
God, Kevin, I'm so happy to see you. You are a fan favorite. Oh, what a jewel. And we've gotten so many people that were so excited and enthralled with your magician episode. Guys, you should check it out. Kevin Smith explains all these amazing magician hacks. And then you just have a ton of other great tools and advice that I really think everybody's going to be obsessed with.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm just kind of like you. I'm a scammer at heart. And even if I use my powers for good, I still kind of enjoy it.
Yes, even if it's for good. And also, I think the thing that connects a lot of scammers is that and I don't want to say we're so smart, but we're pretty smart. But it's the idea of looking at the situation from a couple other angles and not taking things for just as they are. And you right. can see how, well, this could have worked out more easily, or this is the simpler way to do it, or this is the cheaper way to do it. And I don't know, it's just so fun. It's like when it's as, I feel like when you get a sale and a discount, use a couple coupons, it's the same rush as like a con artist gets, which
you're working the loophole.
We're working it. Oh my God. I can't wait. So Kevin, you have a bunch for us. And I want to start with you gave amazing advice to me. You sent an email that was like, first of all, the kindest email and what I needed. You were just so sweet. But you also were explaining that I want to give off right off the back to our new listeners that a password code skill you had. You said there was a certain way to write a passcode, and when you had to make your own passcode.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
It's so cool. It's so cool. Can you explain it? And then I can show the image that you sent us on our like Instagram and stuff, but I want you to explain it because I think it could help a lot of people.
Was the image that I sent you like a stick figure thing?
Yes.
So basically, that image comes from a guy named Randall Monroe. Mm-hmm. He used to work at NASA, mm-hmm. And he quit his job at NASA to draw stick figures on the internet. Mm. And he is one of my favorite authors. He writes a comic strip called XKCD.
Okay.
And he's a nerdy tech type of guy. He loves cryptography. He loves math. He loves science. He's written a couple of books that I have. They're both hilarious. They're really good.
Great.
But that particular comic makes a lot of sense to me. Basically, what it's talking about is we as human beings have trained ourselves to be really bad at passwords. Oh,
that makes sense because I am horrible at it.
Most people are. And that actually kind of will segue into today's topics mm-hmm. as well. So good job, host.
It's just the luck of the day. Nothing else was easy today, but I can segue like a pro.
So we have hundreds and hundreds of websites that all need a login and a password. Mm-hmm. So the natural thing for us to do is to use the same information on each one. So we only have to remember one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the worst things you can do because, you know, your bank may have really high security, but if, you know, Etsy doesn't, or sure. whatever random website you're creating just a thing for one time does not, if they get hacked, suddenly they have the login information for your bank.
Okay.
So the passwords that we use, even if they're different, they're usually pretty much the same. It might be like, my password is Kevin Smith with a dollar sign instead of the S.
Yes.
And then Kevin Smith 01 mm-hmm. or Kevin Smith exclamation point at the end. You know, it's always the exact same thing with just tiny variations. Computer programs are really good at taking an existing password that has been breached somewhere and extrapolating from that. You know, the most common way to add a special character is to put an exclamation point at the end of it. I bet I have done that a bunch of times. I bet a lot of listeners do that. You know, if you put in whatever your standard password is and it says, nope, you need a special character, you change an A to an at symbol, or you change an S to a dollar sign. You know, something easy for you to remember.
And it's so that you remember it too. Yeah, that's my thing is like, if I'm coming up with all these crazy ideas, I do not remember. Right now, I have not gotten on Twitter on my computer because I cannot remember what I made. It's something about, I said something about like Sleazy J, the Vinny, the Chin. I tried to do like some like interesting thing. And then of course I've forgotten it because it didn't make sense.
It was too interesting.
Too interesting.
So what that comic explains is that, you know, you take that really hard to remember password mm-hmm. for a human, but easy to crack for a computer because it's still only 10 digits long or however many. And the computer doesn't care if it's a dollar sign or if it's a T. It's still using its powers to crack that. Mm-hmm. So the answer is to make the password longer, not to make it more complex.
Oh.
So if your password is KEV1 in exclamation point, mm-hmm. that's easy for a computer to break, especially if it knows your name is Kevin mm-hmm. or if it has seen some variation that you have used that password for a different site. But if I make a password that is Kevin is the greatest magician of all time,
okay.
no computer is ever going to break that. No special characters, no numbers. It would take, you know, a million years for the computer programs to just brute force break that.
What if it's like writing on the wall, like Caitlin has self-esteem issues? Like the computers already know that.
Yeah, but they're not trying that. They're just trying letters and numbers and special characters in a combination. And the longer it gets exponentially harder and harder and longer for a computer to crack it.
Right. Now we're looking at computer programs that are trying to crack it and not just some hacker trying to crack it or somebody that, which is also there, but it's less so. Now they're relying the easy way out, doing computers to do their work for them, where before you would be afraid that somebody would know your pet's name and your mom's birth date and things like that. Now it's a computer that's sort of going through it simultaneously. You're right. The odds are way more in your favor if you have longer, more characters. Mm-hmm. It just makes it harder for everything to crack. That's so interesting.
You could grab a book off of your shelf and literally just type in the first couple of sentences with no spaces, and you would have an unbreakable password. It would take hundreds of years for a computer to what's called brute force that algorithm and to get it. But that's still not the best way. That's still not the best kind of password to make.
No, I've heard that too. Yeah.
The best thing that you can do is literally get a password manager app. Lots of people have them. They have them on your phone. They have them on the browser. What that does is creates a brand new password for every single website that you ever visit.
Is it every time you visit it too? Like, let's say it's a Verizon password. Then every time I go on Verizon, is it a new one each time I sign in?
No. Okay. No. The one that I use, I like Google's password manager because I use Google products. I have Gmail, I have Google Calendar, and I use the Chrome browser. Uh-huh. You can set it up so that when you go to a website for the first time and it's never seen you log in before, it will say, hey, do you want to have Google suggest a strong password? You may have already even seen that with whatever browser you use. Mm-hmm. That is great. But you really probably want to have it all be in the same place. You don't want to have the one password app on your phone and the Google password for your browser, because then your passwords aren't showing up everywhere. Mm-hmm. So if you use Google Chrome, for instance, on your phone and on your computer at home, then that's a really easy one. And Google's very good at security. They secure that well. But then you only have to have the single password, which is the password to your Google account. Okay. That's the only one that you really need to know. And once you're logged in, it remembers your password. So anytime you go to Verizon or wherever, it will say, oh, do you want me to auto-suggest this password? And you say yes, and you never have to think about it again.
Yes.
Like it just does it. But what makes that so secure is if Verizon were to get breached, then that doesn't do anything for them except for your Verizon account. They could do stuff to Verizon account, but they couldn't do stuff to your Bank of America account. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do stuff to your Etsy account. Mm-hmm. They couldn't log into your Twitter, because each one of those has a different password.
Okay, great. And I also heard that, my husband and other journalists, they use a specific password program that it is each time it's a new sign-in. Mm-hmm. And it is sort of an auto-generated, which does not make any sense to me. And he's explained it to me many times, but I'm still just like, this is unclear. And that, I know journalists and organizations have they spend a ton of money on privacy and that whole thing. Right. So I've also heard that, because I was a guest again on Adam Levin's podcast, and they have expert hackers and trackers, and they're just so smart. Right. And they know everything. And they basically were like, yeah, all your passwords are so solvable.
Yeah.
It's just so hard, because it's funny, I think I also, too, I love your idea about writing a really long sentence. And I think I'm also just going to have to put a little notebook next to my bed, like an old lady, with all of my passwords in it, because I think that's just going to have to be what I do now.
No. You only need one password from here on out. If you come up with a complex password or a sentence that means something to you that you will always remember, that can be your password for whatever app you do. If it's one password, one single sign in, if it's Google password, that's the only one you'll ever need. And then from there, for instance, Google, the one that I use, it goes through and it audits all the websites that you have ever logged into on Chrome. And it says, okay, Kevin, it looks like you have used the same password 72 times on different sites.
Oh, I have seen that. Yes.
And would you like us to help you fix that? And I say yes. So I click the link and it says, okay, here you log in, here's the password that you've saved here, and now you can let us just suggest a new one. And you do that, and now you've only got the same password on 75 sites, and then 74, and you work it down. So now I don't have the same password on anything.
Okay,
like, great. Every site has a different one. I don't have to remember any
of them.
What
if Google gets hacked, Kevin? What do we do?
If Google gets hacked, we're all because we all.
If it gets to that point, nothing matters really. We're all just in it.
Yeah.
That is, and they probably have tons of money behind their stuff for protection anyway, so it's a good place to be.
Google is hardcore with security.
Okay.
now, whether or not they respect your privacy, people will argue forever, but I have never had any problems with it, and there's plenty written about how devoted they are to security. So,
well, and I'll tell you, speaking of privacy, guys, and then we're going to get into our cool-ass interview with Kevin. I wanted to make some extra money. As we all know, I'm trying to make some more monies as I'm around for the holidays. So there was this opportunity to do like surveys online. So you can do surveys online and then you get points and then they send you gift cards. Guys, this is such a load of shit. So to start to even earn one gift card, you have to make 500 points. So this, when you sign on, it's like 50 to 100 points just to create an account. So you create an account, they ask you some general questions about yourself, you know, your birth date, where you're located, like things that kind of are personal, but it's to find your age range so that they send you surveys by other consumer marketing companies and stuff like that. And the idea of it, sort of like the Nielsen TV thing, is that they then will give their clients who are, let's say, Method cleaning products, they would say like, okay, well, women in their 30s much more prefer the smell of eucalyptus than lavender these days. And so they're just trying to come up with consumer trends. But all of them have these bizarre terms and services. And so before you take any survey, because I know it's pretty shady and nothing's for free, even though they're technically paying you to take a survey, I looked all the terms and services and a bunch of them were like, we have permission to sell your information, the information of your mother's maiden name, your pet's name. Like these ridiculous surveys. So within the surveys of, I'm sure they have these broad consumer questions, they are also requesting you to take all of your information from your computer, basically. And so I said no and didn't want to continue to do it. And I thought it was shady. And I was at like 175 points. And they're like, oh, you're almost at 500. And I looked online at like a Reddit thread to see what is 500 points actually in dollars? Like once I get to the 500, if I did do more of these stupid surveys, what would I get? And it was $5. I'm sorry. I cannot sell my information to hundreds of companies for $5. Maybe $50,000. Like, you know, I mean, there's certain... There's a price. There's a certain a million. Sure, take it all. I don't care. I'll create a new identity. But this was so ridiculous. So guys, if you get those sort of surveys, pay to take a survey, just know that the 500 points that takes quite a while, hours to get there, is just $5. It's not worth it. Not worth it, honey.
Yeah, there's a saying that says if you're not paying for something, you're the product.
Yeah.
You know, if they're giving you something for free, you're the actual commodity. You're what's being marketed.
Ugh, gross. Gross.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
So, Kevin, let's get into our great scam. You're our hero. You're a scamspondent. I want to hear what you're bringing to the table.
Okay. If anybody out there is interested in what we were just talking about, security and mm-hmm. privacy, and kind of learning more about electronic stuff, there's a great podcast that I can recommend called Darknet Diaries.
Oh, yes.
I'm not associated with it at all. I'm not affiliated. But the guy who runs it, his name's Jack Reciter. He is an absolute expert in the field of security.
Okay.
And he does a really good job of telling interesting stories about like computer hacks and things that have happened to people, how they happened, and how you can help prevent that from happening to you. So we were going to talk about phones a little bit.
Yes.
One of my many strange, interesting, different jobs that I had was working for a cell phone provider.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say which one, but it's a big one that everybody's heard of.
Okay.
The reason I don't want to say which one is because I may say some nasty things about them during this podcast.
Yeah. And also, you know what? If you say it, we can also just like bleep it out. And then also, yeah, it's all, everything's protected here. Also, guys, this is a comedy podcast and we have a disclaimer that these are just fun facts.
Yeah.
We're just kidding.
I'm not an expert. I'm a scamspert.
Yeah.
So, and it really doesn't matter because they're all exactly the same.
Mm-hmm,
Anybody who worked at a retail cell phone provider worked with people who had come from other ones.
Okay.
You know, I worked with people from AT&T and T-Mobile and
Verizon. It's like restaurants. You're like, oh,
yeah. Everybody knows everything that's going on and they just switch between them. But there are so many scams around cell phones and phones and really retail in general.
Okay.
But my specific experience was with a cell phone provider.
Okay, let us know.
Okay, so I started out as just a frontline sales rep at a corporate store.
Okay.
And that's one of the first things worth mentioning is there is a difference between the actual corporate branded stores and ones that are called authorized retailers.
Oh, yeah.
And most people, depending on the authorized retailer, a lot of people would not have any idea it was not an actual store.
Right, like the official AT&T store or something.
Right.
Right.
So the corporate stores and the authorized retail stores have completely different sets of offers and promotions and things that they can sell you.
Interesting.
My advice would be go to the corporate stores because they do have more accountability. Usually they will have the best deals, most legitimate deals, and they have the most vested interest in protecting their company image. So the less scammy stuff happens at those.
Okay.
The authorized retailers, it's like the Wild West. They can just do whatever they want. They don't care because they're not actually AT&T. Mm-hmm. They're Joe Bob's cell phone store, but it has a big AT&T sign out, so you didn't know the difference. So fun fact one, always go to the authorized retail stores.
Okay, great.
If you can figure those out. So I started as a sales rep, and one of the first things I did was go to training on how to sell phones.
Okay.
Which makes sense. And I'm a very techie guy. So I was always interested in the features and the mm-hmm, software, mm-hmm. and I really like teaching people things. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun for me to explain how something works. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my process or sure. my angle for how to, I would show somebody this awesome new phone and be like, look at this, you can do this. Here's a new thing that you can, a way that it can make your life better.
That was like your intro into explaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. And it's what made me a very good sales rep. I worked as a sales rep for 2 years and then I got promoted to an assistant manager and I was manager for several years. And during that time I saw all sorts of scams.
All right, what happened?
So scams from a salesperson point of view, mm-hmm. First is just the sale itself. When you go into a cell phone provider, it will help if you know how the rep is getting paid.
Oh.
If they get paid based on how many, new lines that they do, which is the most common,
okay,
then that's what they're going to try and sell you, regardless of what you need. Uh-huh. If they have a quota, say, I have to sell 60 new lines
okay.
this month before I start getting anything higher than my base pay,
okay.
before I start getting commission, they're going to focus on that. And when you go into the store, they're going to say, okay, you need to get a new phone line and you need to get a tablet that is connected mm-hmm. and you need to get in-home internet service because that's three separate lines.
I see. So three separate numbers. So if you create those accounts, those numbers, whatever it is, that's what they're banking on as a salesperson. Can you outright ask them, be like, hi, I'm so happy. I'm looking for things. How are you getting paid today? Because I don't want to get scammed, you fool.
I can pretty much guarantee that it's almost always going to be new lines are the main thing for them, but it's not the only thing
okay.
that factors into it. The second most common thing is I have to kind of censor myself so I'm not saying the things that are directly associated with that provider, but basically accessories. We'll just say accessories. There's certain terminology that each provider uses that like clues it into which one we're talking about.
And that's okay.
People will probably guess, but yeah. It doesn't matter. So accessory dollars, accessory revenue. If you sell a new phone or new line, somebody activates a new account for a cell phone, you're expected to provide a certain amount of accessory dollars to match that. So somebody walks in and buys a new phone, you're supposed to sell like, say, $90 worth of accessories along with that new phone, which is crazy.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that ratio keeps track for the whole month. So okay. say you're supposed to have 60 new lines in a month. If I sell three phones and they don't buy any accessories, they don't buy a case, they don't buy a screen protector, they don't buy a power bank to plug their phone into, now I've got three devices worth of accessory dollars that I have to sell. So it's $90 a pop. I've got to sell $300 worth of accessories to somebody just to kind of break even and not be in the hole.
So yes, then the next person that comes in, you're like, accessory crazy. mm-hmm. You need a case and you need a case and I need my job. So yeah,
right.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. And they change up the compensation schemes all the time. Mm. And they do it specifically so that the reps can't really figure out the best way to game the system and make the most money. Mm. If they left it the same way, the reps would get in the zone and get in the habit and they would milk it for all it's worth. They would just have it down. So that's why they're always changing
it. They're smart. They're learning. They would learn. They'd be like, okay, everybody loves getting this accessory attached to it. Everybody just wants to do the best that they can. So it's so shitty that these companies are like, here, do the best that you can for 3 months. And then we're going to totally
change it up,
finagle it and change it and completely confuse you. And then you have to relearn everything and try your best again for 3 months.
Yeah. I have a very special place in my heart for anybody working in retail.
Yeah.
Any time of the year, but especially this time of the year.
Yes.
Coming up on Christmas, coming up on the holidays, it's just rough.
And it's rough, yeah.
It's rough coming from your employers, and it's also rough coming from the people that you're dealing with. Like, retail is just miserable mm-hmm. this time of year. So if you're out buying something, be nice to your retail people. Mm. But anyway, back to how they're trying to scam you. So I went to the training for a new employee retail phone place. And the first thing they said was, don't focus on the device. Don't try and show them the features. Don't try and tell them all the great things that it can do. You need to find out why they came to you.
Oh, very psychological.
Oh, it is psychological manipulation.
It's like we're selling books. Don't you dare fucking sell a book. You sell this person on their dream.
That's exactly right.
On their divorce. Like, find the real reason they're here.
Yeah. During my training, they actually called it the X factor.
Wow.
And it's not, if somebody comes in and you say, hi, you know, welcome to my cell phone store. Mm-hmm. What brings you in today? They'll tell you something. They'll say, oh, I need a new phone. Mm-hmm. That's not the X factor. And they're like, oh, okay. Why do you need a new phone? Mm-hmm. What? And they're like, oh, you know, it's just time to upgrade. Okay. Well, what do you like to do with your phone? Mm-hmm. So based on that, we can even treat this as like a sale right here. Katie, what do you like to do with your phone? What do you use your phone for?
Well, I use it to play all the sponsored games on Scamwell Podcast, of course. And then I use it to watch a lot of TikTok. And then my son uses it to watch TV shows while we're like in transport, like either in a car, walking somewhere, to keep him occupied. So I use a lot of data.
Perfect. Stop right there. I know so much about you right now. I know that you have a son. I know that you play games. I know that you like to hand your phone to him.
Oh.
So now, sure, I'll upgrade your phone, but that's not the real thing that I'm after you for. Mm-hmm. I will say, okay, your son likes to use your phone, but do you ever like need to make a call while he's watching YouTube on there?
All the time.
So that's when I show you a tablet.
Right.
Well, boom, there's another line. Well, you can't just give you a tablet by itself. You need a big foam case that protects it. Mm-hmm. So I'll sell you that. And then a screen protector so the screen doesn't get cracked. Mm-hmm. And then more data because he's watching all these videos. Mm-hmm. Just a tiny bit of information about somebody tells a salesperson a lot that they can use to manipulate you. Then you need to find what is wrong in their life, what is missing.
This is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's
what is wrong in their terrible life. Also, who the hell are these qualified salespeople to go like, let me tell you, like, if I have so many opinions on how people can make their lives better, but I should not be giving them. Like, I stick to a podcast.
You know, it's
so funny because I was on hold with, I'll say, the company I was with is with Verizon, and I had to ask them about these extra fees, and they mm-hmm. basically, they did ask me, what do I use it for? And I did say, you know, my son uses it for YouTube like an idiot. And so then the woman started telling me how much she loved YouTube. She loved watching tutorials, and she's like, and you know what? Those really eat at my data. And so she's telling me mm-hmm. her personal experience of trying to like, also then I really feel like instill this fear in me that like, I'm going to get my data eaten up. Now, did not work. I was like, you're so good at your job, but no, thank you. I'm not going to hand you over more money. I actually I got out of the call with getting my bill reduced because they overcharged me for something. And it was just really funny because I remember listening to the call. She's telling me so much about herself. Mm-hmm. She's really trying to tell me about like her experience and what she watches and what she does on her phone. And I'm like, no offense, but I'm not here to talk about her phone.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just trying to like see if I can get this charge off my bill. And by the end, she was very nice and she was very sensitive. And I think she was a great salesperson. But I did remember her suddenly talking about like the struggles of how much YouTube she watches. And I was thinking, nobody asked you. Can I just please hang up the phone? But she was nice, whoever she was.
Yeah, and she has literally been trained to do that. Like that's. We went to classes. We did like role playing. My classes were in a different state.
But I'm like, I am surprised. Like, it's funny. It's like when somebody asks the most casual leading question. Now, Kevin, what were some of the things when someone said, what's wrong in their life? This is the funniest, creepiest thing I've ever heard. So tell me more about this.
So it's getting that connection. It's making a bond with somebody so that they feel like you're their best friend right away. So you just say, oh, you know, you've got a kid. How old is he? Mm. People love talking about their son.
They do.
So, oh, what is he into? Oh, you know, 2 years old. That's such a great age. Mm. You know, my kid loves Paw Patrol. Mm-hmm. What is yours into? So you can talk about something that's totally unrelated to phones for a few minutes. Spend that time building the connection. And then they'll offer more. They'll be like, oh yeah, we used to watch Paw Patrol, but then there was a really scary episode and he didn't want to watch it anymore. So now we don't know what to do. So suddenly I know that you have security fears. He's scared of somebody breaking into your house or whatever it is. Well, now that gives me a chance to talk to you about our security system and products and stuff like that.
Wow.
The longer you can spend talking to somebody and building that connection, the more they feel like you're their friend. Mm-hmm. And then if I've spent 20 minutes talking to you, troubleshooting your device problems, you know, helping you fix whatever's wrong on your phone and just casually chatting, at the end, I can say, hey, you know, you've told me all these things. Do you have a minute? Can I show you this thing that I think might make your life better?
And they're like,
yeah, because sure, Kevin just spent, you know, 20 minutes fixing my phone. The least I can do is let him show me something.
Listen, yeah.
So I go and I show you a Bose speaker that you can hook up to your phone and be like, look, at night when he's going to sleep, you just hook up your phone to this and it plays ocean music and lets him go to sleep better. And then he'll rest better and he'll be better at school. He'll be more rested. And look, I'm manipulating you as a parent.
He'll be able to make friends and he'll finally be popular once he gets to high school. And that's what
socially
matters.
Adjusted.
He'll get that quarterback scholarship and you'll be set free. And then you can retire easy. This is really a retirement plan.
Right. So, you know, it's little things like that. Finding out things that are missing and racking your brain. Saying, okay, what do I have that might help her with this? And the longer you can hold off on suggesting that, just keep building the friendship, the relationship with the customer, the more likely they are to say, yes, I do need this thing in my life. There was a really great example in one of the trainings that I went to that I loved. And I've seen this since then. I've seen part of it on like movies where I think it was Wolf of Wall Street where they said, you know, sell me this pen.
Yeah.
Have you seen that on? So I've seen it on TV shows.
No.
Now that I've mentioned it, it'll pop up everywhere
because sure
it's a pretty common thing. But basically, the idea was I could be like, look at this pen. It's really nice. Do you want this? What would you say?
No, thank you.
You don't need a pen?
No.
Okay. Well, let me ask, what do you use a pen for? What was the last thing you used a pen for?
I used it for writing my career goals down. Guys, I'm so transparent.
Well, that's a gimme. I mean, a lot of people will say something like, oh, I wrote a
grocery list.
And you just have, I assume, a cheap throwaway pen in your purse and you just use that and didn't think any more about it. How often do you lose those cheap throwaway pens?
Well, you're talking to a crazy person. So I bought like boxes of my favorite pen because I didn't want to lose them anymore. And so I have them in the house and I just keep going anytime I lose it. But there's pens all over my house.
Yeah. You just got a backup one.
Got a backup.
So this pen that I have is actually kind of a special pen. I've had it for, I guess, 8 years now.
Whoa.
It's not normal. You can see it's like a fountain pen.
Yes.
So it's kind of fancy.
It looks like a quill at the end, but it's not a quill.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nib is the technical name for it. But I bought this when I was learning to improve my penmanship.
Okay.
You know, I bought a penmanship manual from like the 1900s and started learning how to write Spencerian script. Because my handwriting was atrocious.
No, because you contain multitudes. You're the most interesting person I've ever spoken to.
It's because I can't stand to not be learning something all the time.
That's amazing.
I love learning new things.
That's the greatest thing.
But anyway, I bought this pen and I started because to do Spencerian script correctly, you can't really do it with a ballpoint. You need a fountain
Spencerian.
Pen.
Okay.
Spencerian script. I can send you a picture of my handwriting now if you want.
I can't wait. That's amazing.
But I bought this pen and suddenly I had a nicer pen that I had to pay more attention to. I didn't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go and replace it because, you know, I paid, I think this was like $70.
Okay, it's that's expensive
a fancy pen. For a pen. Mm-hmm. But I've had it for 8 years now, so it's good. A nice thing about it is you can just dip it in a bottle of ink and write with it for a whole page. You don't have to worry about the cartridge running out. Cartridge is refillable. But more important than any of that is the things that I've used this pen for since have
changed
really,
your life.
Yeah. I used this pen to sign my name on my marriage license.
Wow.
I used this pen to sign the mortgage on the house.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, if I had a baby tomorrow, mm-hmm. I would use this on his birth certificate. You know, it's suddenly this pin has an emotional value.
Right. And you're sharing your story.
Right. I'm telling you this. I really, you know, I just bought this pen the other day. And
thank
I'm just
God.
Making it all.
I'm like, my God, Kevin, that's a lot of pressure for yourself to remember that pen because I would have lost it. That's the thing. Even if it was special to me, $70, $200, I'm like, yikes. I would have accidentally signed it for like a Taco Bell order and left it there.
So it's that emotional connection. It's a signing value to it. It's finding whatever the emotion is. If it's fear, exploit that. If it's something that they love, they tell you they really love sailboating, and you say, oh, I've never been on a sailboat, tell me more about that. Then they talk about themselves for 5 more minutes, and I'm like, yeah, I got the sailboating merit badge when I was in Boy Scouts, of course I know about sailing. I just wanted to hear you
talk. Kevin Smith, you know everything.
But the goal is get them to share, find what's emotional to them, capitalize on that, really kind of push on that button. And then suddenly you have a lot more power as a salesperson.
Wow. And so the goal of that lesson was like to have power because you've created this connection with them that you're just not an anonymous tip on the phone saying you should purchase mm-hmm. this or upgrade. You're now like a family member or friend, and you create much more influence with them.
A friend making a suggestion is much more powerful than a stranger trying to sell you something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my suggestion holds more value because I do have a reason for making it. If I just said, well, you need this new thing, but I don't have any reason to say why I think you need it, then you just blow it off. You're like, no, I don't need your sales pitch. But if I say, you told me this, and that's why I'm suggesting this, now there's value to it.
And then how thoughtful are you, Kevin? You're such a good listener. Yeah. Then it's like, wow, my husband isn't even here that I need my fountain pens all over. Like then that person comes with all of their stuff. And they're like really indebted to you, it sounds like.
Well, I can say with certainty that this process worked for me on a particular client because she ended up marrying me afterwards. So,
I scammed my husband too. It's how we work in this world, okay? That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I literally met her. She came in because I called her randomly from work. And I said, hey, we see that you have this particular phone. We have a promotion going on right now where you can upgrade it for free. No mm-hmm. upgrade fee, no anything. Like, I can literally get you the brand new iPhone. You don't pay anything. Wow. Nothing changes on your bill. And so she came in and she was very, you know, skeptical. She's like, this is a scam, right?
Right.
Nope, it's not. Here's what it is. And I showed her, you know, the paperwork on it. And she's like, okay. So I was transferring all her stuff over and just talking to her, getting to know her, finding out about her. And we really, you know,
hit it off.
Made a deep connection. We hit it off.
Yeah. And
later I looked her up on Facebook. You know, I could have found her number just from our system, but I felt like that would be creepy.
That is creepy. You know what? That was a good move. do it more.
Well, she told me later. She was like, I'm glad you didn't do that.
Totally.
But I like asked her if she wanted to go salsa dancing because we had talked about that during her thing. And I used to be a ballroom dance instructor. So
yes, you were.
I can show you how to do this.
Oh my God. So that's great. So in that conversation, though, I guess it's a good tip. Really, it's the tip you want to give any person for a good conversation. It's just like listen to the person and remember mm-hmm. what they're saying, and that will give you value in their life. But they're taking it. Now, did she buy the cell phone? Did she upgrade?
It was free. It really wasn't a scam.
Did she have to re-sign for another 2 years?
No.
Wow.
It was the only time.
What's the point of that?
5 years I worked there. I don't know.
To get married.
It definitely wasn't
iPhone. It was just
iPhone.
To get their staff married.
Yeah. Hi, honey. I know she's going to be listening to this.
Oh,
later,
I love it. Hello. You have a gem. Marcy, you're a queen. Also, God, you know, God bless her. Marcy comes in like, this is a scam. Like, you're going to offer me something. You're telling me to come in. I will see you face to face.
Now, the part of it was she had an older cell phone.
Okay.
And if I can get her onto a newer one, she's probably going to use more data. She's going to buy more things.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, Kevin, I'll say, is that with all of this, they keep offering new phones and they're saying like, we have unlimited data. But so what happened to me was that mine was a ton of data. They got Alan to switch plans and pay more because our old data plan was obsolete, they said. They didn't offer it anymore, which doesn't mean you have to change it. It just means they don't offer it anymore. You can, this is the thing, guys. If you have a contract and they say like, oh, we don't even offer that plan anymore, that doesn't mean that you have to give it up and do a new plan. You get to keep that as long as you keep your cell phone. But they confused, I don't know if they confused him. He's listening too. Our spouses are involved in this one. But they were like, that the data you have is so small. At the time it was large. So now let's give you 12, whatever, gigabytes of data. You'll never do that. So now our phones, like three upgrades later, they're like, 12 is obsolete. You need like 35 to have, or it's just so crazy. So when I called, the woman was like, well, we don't even have that plan anymore. You need to get at least 15 or 20. And I was like, well, I can't right now. Right now, we're not doing that. We're not going to put money into this situation. We'll just like, we'll edit ourselves. We'll do things on our computers. We'll work from home, Wi-Fi, you know, just try and be more conscious. And it was just such a funny thing because that's another tactic that they say once you get that upgrade, all of your data, but the resolution becomes stronger of your photos, what you can download becomes deeper. And then you're suddenly in this new data bracket and you're spending all this money again.
Right. The thing for a listener to do if they encounter that situation is say, well, how much data have I used each month for the last 3 months?
Okay.
Because that's like two clicks for the rep on their old tablet. And they pull it up and they see, oh, you've only got
a little double 12, click.
Yeah, you've got 12 schmigabytes of data and you used two this month and you used one this month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is Wi-Fi almost everywhere.
It's true.
So you may not, they may not offer it anymore. That may not be what the average is. The other side of that is true. There are way more things to use data on now than there ever were before. Right. You know, streaming video takes up a lot of data. That's just a fact of life. And you may not have Wi-Fi when you're streaming. You may be on the subway or on the car driving to Thanksgiving dinner. So you may be using more mobile data. So knowing what your own usage is, what your own statistics are before you go in is a really good thing to do as really a consumer. And if you don't know it, that's okay, because you can ask them to show it to you and they should be able to, which kind of leads me to another scam another part of this. So the device installments.
Okay.
You used to go in and you would upgrade your phone every 2 years and they would just give you the newer phone every 2 years.
Yes.
And you signed a contract. That went away. Now it's, you come in and you can buy the new phone or you can buy it for 24 monthly payments of $25.
Right.
So you're paying for the whole phone over those 2 years, the 24 monthly payments, but that's a lot more palatable than paying $800 for the new iPhone right now.
Right.
You know, I can do 2 years worth of $25 payments.
Yeah.
They have locked you in without you even knowing it. You didn't necessarily sign a contract for 2 years, but if you start making $25 a month payments on that phone, and then suddenly you switch to another carrier, guess what? You have to pay off the remaining balance of that phone right then.
Really? So that so once you start paying on that phone, you're not renting it. They're like, you have it. So give us, so then that becomes like a creditor. Jeez.
Right. It's like financing. There's no finance charge associated with it. You're paying the same amount.
Okay.
Typically not. I mean, like I said, the stuff changes every couple of months there. But in general, there's not. You're paying the same amount that you would, but if you switch carriers, you have to pay off the remaining payments right then.
Wow.
So then the other carrier comes in and they say, well, we'll pay off the rest of your device so you don't have to do that.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, but then you're locked in with them.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. I think my brother, he was telling me he's just going to go back to an old flip phone. He's like, I don't want internet on my phone. And And I really agree with that. I wouldn't ever, because I need it to occupy my child. I need it as a parenting tool. But I love the idea of just like not saying, I'm going to get my internet. I'm going to get my social media. I'm going to get all the influences out of my life. I don't need it next to me at all times. I think that's sort of going to be where people go eventually. They're going to be so sick of it.
It's a healthy mindset. It's really hard to do. Go ahead.
My son's crying.
Go for it.
Okay, I'll be right back. Okay. You're the best, Kevin. Okay. He's wide awake and it is over for mom.
Oh, gotcha.
He's yelling, telling me it's over. He doesn't understand what's going on and he also has a cold. So I might have to end this, Kevin. This sucks.
Okay.
Oh, so
that's
sad.
Okay. We can.
We'll do more.
Yeah, we'll meet up anytime.
Okay. I'm obsessed with you. Thank you so much. You're a saint and I adore you. And I'm going to go deal with this screaming child. I don't know if you can hear.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you to my son. Just being himself at 3 years old, this recording was cut short. If you turn off the volume, you can hear him calling me in the background because we try to do it all here at ScamWow. We're recording, we're working with people at different time zones, people having jobs. Kevin was so lovely. He rescheduled a bunch with us and we're going to have him back again to finish this episode. He also emailed me afterwards to tell me that he has more stories about reps being arrested for trade-in schemes and ways to protect your sensitive data when you go into a retail store and a billion other stories. And he's got ballroom stories, guys. He's got it all. I want to hear his wife's stories. It's a never-ending experience with Kevin Smith and I never want it to end and I'm thrilled. So we will have a part two with Kevin Smith coming out in the new year. And for right now, I hope you enjoy this episode. We're going to take next week off because we all deserve a break. All of us are spending time with our families. But of course, during the break, I'm recording with my mom and my husband and we have plenty of fun episodes for you. But we will be off next week. We adore you so much. I cannot thank you enough. It has made such a difference in my life this year to have you all as my amazing listeners. Oh, and if you want to give me a little Christmas gift, what would be incredible is to write a happy, positive review on Apple. We have gotten some real negative, cranky reviews and a happy, nice 5-star review would just literally help my dopamine so much. And you can call us if you have any tips on our ScamWow, our podcast. What is it? Our hot tip hotline. Guys, I'm on Christmas break. 347-509-9414. Email us at scamwellpodcast@gmail.com. On Instagram, I'll message you on ScamWell Podcast. And I love you all. We're hanging in there. Seasonal affective disorder is happening, but go buy yourself a sunlight. Don't get scammed by the sun. Okay, just because it's taking a break doesn't mean that you need to feel sad. All right, you can buy your own sun. We're free human beings. We could do whatever we want, provided we're not in credit card debt. Okay, there's a lot there, but I love you all and I wish you all the best week. Thanks, bye.